يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا.
مولانا
صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعلمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم. روح الفداء لقبر أنت ساكن، أنت ساكنه، فيه العطاء وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our honorable illustrious Sheikh Arif Billah, the Rumi of our time, the second Tabriz, the Mujaddid of our era, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah, Hazrat said, before every bayan, make muzakra, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So firstly, let us try and explain the value and importance of sunnah, how important sunnah is in our life. And from there we can gauge, when sunnah is so important, then what are wajibat, what are the compulsory things, the farais, how much more important are not they? And most important, aqidah, that our beliefs must be correct. That is the most important. Anyway, well, an example of sunnah, the value of it. Hadrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, explains that every Muslim has in his heart the desire that Islam must spread in the whole world. Everyone accepts Islam. There's an Islamic system, Islamic way of life in the whole world. Everyone desires. Some people try for it also. Some people march and demonstrate and demand that our country, Muslim countries, must be ruled according to Sharia, according to the laws of Quran and Hadith, etc. But Mufti Sahib explains it so beautifully. He says, you want Islam to come in every country, to come in the whole world. He says, you, your one body as a human being, it's also like one whole country with many provinces in it, many states in it. The province of the brain, the province of the eyes, the tongue, the ears, hands, legs, all these are different provinces in this one body. And you are the president of this country of yours. And you are the president, you are the state president, you are the prime minister, without any election also. Unopposed. You are the president. And you are not the president for 4 years, 5 years, lifelong president. And in your parliament, you have no opposition also. So in your government, you are the president, you got no opposition. So you bring Islam, you want Islam in the whole world. You bring Islam in your eyes, look how Islam is commanded us to look. You bring Islam in your brains, think how Islam wants you to think. You bring Islam in your tongue, talk and have respect and all that, how Islam wants us to. So if every person does this, and every Muslim wants Islam, so Islam without any big budget of money, collecting money, without an army, without big offices and computers, without newspapers or anything, everyone just brings and everyone wants Islam, and you got Islam, you know what is Islam, and you want it, so you bring it in yourself. The father brings it, the mother, the children, Islam is in the house. In the community, everyone brings it, Islam is in the community. In the country, Islam is in the country. And Islam, not the literature of Islam, Islam, the practical religion, is so beautiful. If the non-Muslims will see it, they will just get pulled towards it also. Automatically, the akhlaq, the character, and we not pray for effect. What the media is making about Islam and the Muslims, and when those non-Muslims meet Muslim people, they say, what we see in the media, but you are different. You are not the vibrant type of people what the media is portraying. And they are saying all Muslims are terrorists and they are fundamentalists. But you see, you are so pleasant people. Everyone, whether it's in your shop, whether it's in the workplace, when they meet the Muslim, and if true Islam is to come into us, this is just a superficial Islam we still have got. If Islam, if the true Islam is to come into our lives, our wives will be so happy to have us at home. Otherwise, at the moment, the wives also say, the more you are out of the house, the more there is peace in the house. When you come in the house, no peace in the house. The fighting that takes place, the swearing, and the way you carry on. But if we have that Islam, the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the house also, the wife will be so pleased to have us here. How many children tell the parents, tell the father, that father, if you're going to carry on like this, nobody will be able to stay with you. If this is your attitude and these are your habits, nobody, your own children won't stay with you, your wife won't stay with you. So if we have got this right character, then at home also, whether we're in the workplace, whether it's a shop, whether it's a factory, whether it's an office, people will be just too pleased to have us. And automatically, Islam never spread by lectures. Islam never spread by the sword. Islam never spread by bribery and money. Like Christian missionaries, they bribe the people, give them money, etc. The Shias, they're giving people money and winning them over. Salafis are doing this. Islam never spread like that. Islam spread by Islam. When Islam was in the lives of the people, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam was 100% in his life. The Sahaba who were so opposed to Islam, before that Khalid ibn Walid, what was his condition? Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what was his condition? But that Islam that was on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he won them over. And in a short period of roughly 23 years, the whole Arabian Peninsula comes into the fold of Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts that foundation for Islam. That the time of the Khulafai Rashidin, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Islam becomes completely strong. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala himself, he says, oh Umar, look at yourself. You are that young boy, young man, that your father used to say, you don't know how to graze the animals, how to look after animals, those few animals of the family. You don't know how to look after them. And today, two and a quarter million square miles are under your rule. You are ruling over, not kilometers, 2.25 million square miles. You are ruling the world today. And what was this? That man that at one time came to kill Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today Allah puts him in that position. In the time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, Islam spreads in the world. The time of the Sahaba, Muslims who went to Malaysia, Indonesia, in those areas, how did Islam spread? They went there as businessmen. But that was a front to the business. And they showed them the akhlaq of Islam. Islamic way of doing business. All those areas until today, Malaysia, Indonesia, all those areas, Muslim countries. What was it? It was Islam that invited them towards Islam. Not the lectures they were giving. And not the books they wrote. But they practiced Islam and the people saw their lives. And in that they accepted Islam. So this is the value of Sunnah. If Sunnah comes into our lives, inshaAllah, we will see Islam will come into us. We will get the enjoyment of Islam. Today, the Islam which is in us, it's like it's in a book form. It's not in our lives. We don't look according to how Islam. Yes, we can give big lectures. Islam says don't look at other women. Don't look at porn. Don't watch TV. All that you can say. But ourselves, what are we doing? Our tongues, we can tell how you must use your tongues. For Islam to be in our tongues, that by nature, automatically, you start eating, Bismillah. While you are eating, automatically, you don't have to think, you are just programmed that way, Alhamdulillah. And you think of Allah's name. that what namat and natala is given. Automatically after eating, you make shukr of Allah. Automatically you tell your wife, Jazakallah. You prepared, you gave me a life of jannat, ready food I'm getting. I come home from work, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. Hot food is ready. It's a cold day, she thinks that let me make soup for my husband. Hot soup she gives you. She gives you that nice, wonderful bread, butter and everything. Everything according to your taste she makes for you. You go to bed, everything is ready for you. You go to the shower, everything is ready. But when do we make shukr? We don't make shukr. We don't appreciate at all. So this Islam is that we learn to appreciate. We learn to be thankful to people. We live correctly with our neighbors. That we live correctly with our neighbors, etc. So when this will come into our lives, so this is what is sunnah. That we bring this into our life. Islam must not be in the books. Islam, the people have heard about Islam. People are reading about Islam. People want to see Islam. And if we as the Muslims don't practice on Islam, who is going to practice? And just making our five times namaz, or rather two, three namazes, and we think I'm making my five times namaz. That is not Islam. No, just one aspect of Islam. Once an elephant was brought to at the Arab countries. You don't find elephants there in the Arab countries. So everyone was very, very curious to see how an elephant looks. The lights went off. So everyone went in to now see the elephant with the lights off. So how are they going to see? They went in, touch and feel the elephant. So everyone, whichever part of the elephant he touched, he described its elephant like that. A person who touched the back, he said it was like a tabletop. A person who touched the legs, he said the elephant is like columns. A person who touched the trunk, he said the elephant is like a pipe. So everyone got one aspect of the elephant. So we also today, some aspects of Islam, and we think I saw Islam. We haven't still seen Islam. We haven't lived Islam. We haven't tasted Islam. And for that, which Allah Ta'ala says, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter completely and fully into Islam. If we have entered into Islam, now it's time, it's necessary that Islam comes into us. We have entered into Islam, but Islam has come into us. Islam has come in my thinking. Islam has come in my eyes. Islam has come in my speech. Islam has come in my behavior, in my business, in every aspect. We have to bring Islam. And for that, an effort is required. One Ali, a graduate Ali, he wrote to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, a great Ali, a great Sheikh, that I became bay'at to you to correct my life. And it's about 10 years I became an Ali also, everything, but still I didn't benefit anything. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, what a beautiful answer he gave. He says to become an Ali you spend 6-8 years. In order to become a Hafiz, another 2 or 3 years. To become a Qari, another 2 or 3 years. You spend 10-12 years for all of that. And to study while you are becoming an Alim, day and night. You attended classes during the day, diligently, punctually. At nights you study, exam times, how much effort you make. All that, then you became an Alim. And that is just an Alim that got a certificate. Not real, a real Alim stuff. Just the alim with a certificate. And he says, for your Islah, did you even give one day fully to make your Islah? To bring Islam into your life. To get the knowledge of Islam, you spent so much. And how much effort and how much money you spent. How much your parents sacrificed in order to get the knowledge of Islam. But to get that Islam into you, the practice of Islam into you, did you even give one day? And then you are saying you did not benefit. Give some time at least to bring Islam into us. We are busy with, we work on our gardens. See how beautiful our gardens are. See, we work on our houses. Our houses are like show houses. Whichever part of the house, anytime you spit can spare. Shining. The toilets are shining. The bathrooms are shining. The storerooms are shining. The sheds are clean. The drawers are clean. Everything is tidy. We give so much time. For our businesses, how much time don't we? For we take out time for our holidays. To prepare to go for a holiday, How much of preparation is required?
How much of money? We spend time for that holiday.
But for Islam to come into us,
ask ourselves,
if we just make some namaz, that is not an effort to bring Islam into us.
If we just are going for Hajj,
that's not an effort. You just fulfill one faraz to bring the whole of deen into you.
How much did we sacrifice? And this cannot come without a sacrifice.
When the greatest thing is this Islam that will make this world a beautiful garden of roses. And it will make the whole world a place of enjoyment and
barakat from Allah Ta'ala will come.
Protection will come. Everyone, whether it's a widow, whether it's an old man, old lady, everyone, Islam has come. And in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu,
and the Khulafa'i Rashidin, that was an Islamic way of life.
Where if a person passes away, he leaves his children, the Islamic State sees to all their needs. Where there is a widow, the Islamic State, it was a life of peace, of strength.
One lady travels from Sanha in Yemen, and she comes to Medina to Munawwara. The journey perhaps of about 2,000 kilometers or so.
In those days, by foot, she traveled also.
Or by camel, she traveled.
And when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu,
he was the ruler over all this place.
He said, how did you find my country and the people?
She said, I was so a young woman
who for some reason had to travel without a mahram, without a wali for some reason.
A young woman laden with jewelry.
She said, it was like I was walking from the one room of my father's house to the next room. In other words, nobody interfered with me.
Nobody looked at me with a bad eye.
Nobody thought of robbing me and taking my jewelry. A young woman, a beautiful woman. This is what Islam will give the world today. And this is what we have to do.
We just got some outside picture of Islam and we don't see the enjoyment, the beauty
of Islam.
Wallah, I say, if we bring Islam in our lives, the life of Jannat will be here in this dunya.
That Jannat will come on its time and on its place, and what to say of that Jannat.
But Allah will give us, and it's a guarantee if we bring Islam. So this is what sunnahs are.
So I'll mention one sunnah
at this time,
and we should try and bring all the sunnahs into our lives.
For that we should study some kitab, some book of the sunnahs, and more effective is to stay with a person who has got sunnahs in his life. And let it rub off onto our lives.
Not from kitabs really. That is an aid. It is a help.
But the real deen that comes in a person's life is from person to person.
The deen that came into the Sahaba
was not from Quran Sharif. Was not from the Hadith Sharif.
It was from the company of Nabi Karim.
The deen that came in the Tabi'een was not from big Darul Ulooms and from big lectures.
It was the company with the Sahaba that they became Tabi'een.
And like that till today, whoever has got whatever percentage and portion of deen,
it is not from kitabs, it is who they stayed with such people.
Who had deen in their lives,
it rubbed off onto them and they have got that deen.
Otherwise, if it is from kitabs, today we see a person becomes an alim in a Darul Ulum,
and what he does, opens another Darul Ulum, and he teaches. And what happens? Those students who learn,
they teach others again. So it's just knowledge going from generation to generation.
But Islam, the practical way of life,
that will only come if we stay with people who have got Islam in their lives.
And a buzurg is not a person who boozes and roars.
A buzurg is a person who has got this Islamic way of life in him.
Buzurg and hazrat is not just some title. That there is a buzurg, there is a hazrat, there is a sheikh, there is a maulana.
It is a person who has got it in his life.
If we have got it in our lives, then whoever we are in contact,
and our niyat is that it must be transferred to our people. Whether you're the imam of the masjid, the mutawalli of the masjid,
the head of the family in the home,
but you have got it and you want to transfer it. And they want it also to come into them. The transfer takes place very readily.
If you transfer money into somebody's account and one digit is wrong, it doesn't go into his account. And if you don't want to transfer a phone call, you want to transfer, but that person's account, something is frozen, the money won't go into the account.
So the giver and the recipient
must be both eager that we want to give it and we want it in our lives.
And when that is the case, Allah is the most kind and most,
but do it in the system that Allah has.
So one sunnah that I will mention,
it comes in a hadith when a person leaves his home
and he reads three simple du'as.
And so easy, all of us know them. Bismillah, which Muslim doesn't know Bismillah?
Tawakkaltu ala Allah, every Muslim knows.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, every Muslim knows.
We don't have to go and learn it off, we don't have to write it or anything. And just to read, Bismillah,
Tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
Immediately Allah deputes an angel,
a malak, an angel,
to you, and that angel gives you three du'as.
And the du'as of the malaika are 100% mustajab, accepted by Allah.
There is absolutely no doubt in their du'as being accepted. You make three du'as, that angel is deputed by you, and in return he gives you three du'as. The first du'a he gives you, wuqita,
you have been given your protection and security for the day.
Today we know what is the crime rate. The more all sophisticated the systems are being made to stop crime, crime is on the increase all the time.
Crime is not decreasing.
We haven't tried the real system to control crime.
And that is the dua of the angel. That he tells you that Allah has given you protection for the day.
And when Allah's protection is there, nobody can touch you.
Nobody will even think of harming you. And if they do, they will do it to their own detriment.
They will suffer the consequences.
You will not be harmed when Allah is to protect us.
So that is the first dua we get.
The second dua the angel gives you, kufika,
your needs for the day will be satisfied.
A person leaves his home because of needs. He has to earn,
he has to buy groceries, he has to pay rentals,
he has to pay water, light accounts,
all his needs he has to see to. So the angel gives you du'as, your needs will be fulfilled.
When you get that,
how can you run in shortages? How can you run in financial problems?
When you got the du'a of the angel. And the third du'a the angel gives you, which is perhaps in our times the most important,
hudita, your hidayat for the day has been granted.
Today when we hear, so sad,
good families,
this one became a Salafi, that one became a Shia, that girl is getting married to a Bareilwi,
all this type of things that we are hearing, when the angel will give you dua,
that your hidayat is guaranteed, you can't, nobody can misguide you.
No matter what temptations they put in front of you,
no matter what easy type of being they put in front of you,
everything just washed down and made simple and easy,
and you just fall for all that.
All these things won't waver you even.
Won't make you even shake a little bit from the truth.
You are just by reading the simple dua, Bismillah,
Tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata.
It's not a long dua, difficult to memorize.
It's not a long dua that if you read it, you have to tell your wife, see, I read this dua every morning and my throat gets dry. So put a bucket of water by the door so that when I read the dua, my throat gets dry, I can drink some water.
Your throat won't get dry.
It won't be a strain on the mind.
But in return, you're getting an angel is deputed by you.
And he's giving you three duas.
This is the value of sunnah. May Allah let us realize
every sunnah we can know, or we can ever exhaust
and understand what every sunnah entails,
what great benefit. May Allah give us the yaqeen to understand
what the values of the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are
and bring them in our lives.
The ayat al-kareema that I have recited of the Quran Sharif, this is the first command which Allah has given in the Quran from the beginning, from Alif Lam Mim. Ya ayyuhan nas ubudu rabbakum. O people, worship your Rabb.
And then also, this ayat has come after two rukus. From the beginning, after Surah Fatiha, Alif Lam Mim,
dhalikal kitabu la rayba fih, Allah has explained the mu'mineen,
the true believers who they are, alladhi yu'minuna bil ghaib. All the true believers, what their qualities are. And everyone can recognize a genuine true believer very easily that there is a true believer. Then in very short, one or two ayahs, Allah explained the non-believers, the kuffar. They are also easy to understand, to see that the true believers are quite clear. You can see who is a true believer. And the non-believer, you can also see who is a non-believer. Then in one long ruku of perhaps about 13 ayahs or so, two pages, Allah explained the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, the people who are difficult to make out whether he's a believer or not. He behaves like a believer, but inside he hasn't got any iman. Which Allah Ta'ala Himself says, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. We believe in Allah. We believe. Like this, they will come and tell you also, we believe. Why are your ulama saying we're not believers? Allah says, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. But they are not believers. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are trying to deceive in their minds. They are making a clown of themselves. They are making a circus of themselves that they are deceiving Allah. Who can deceive Allah? Allah Ta'ala, يَعْلَمُ خَارِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the seeing of the eyes also. And what is conceived in the hearts, Allah, who can deceive? But they think they are deceiving Allah Ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And they think they are deceiving the believers also. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah says they are deceiving nobody else, they are just deceiving themselves. So these munafiqeen are very dangerous. They are the snakes in the grass. They are the enemy from inside. And this is the worst enemy, the munafiq. And they feign to be like Muslims. They will even make namaz, they will do everything. But in their heart they haven't got love of Islam. They haven't got love of deen. They are doing, they got ulterior motives. They are using Islam for their own popularity. They are using Islam to take out money from people also. And they are just doing that. Inside they have, the reality is not there. So in one long ruku, and for two reasons Allah explained them very clearly. The one is that we must be on our guard of these people. They will be like your dear and close friends. They will tell you, you don't have to be an extremist in Islam. We are desiring your good, that you, 5 times a month is too much for you. You must make, Fajr is very hard for you. You make your Maghrib is enough. Or the lot of parents, that the children want to dress according to Islam. No, this you are being a fundamentalist, you being an extremist. You mustn't dress like this. Dress like everyone else dresses. So these people, they will give good advices outwardly, but inside they don't have love of Islam. They haven't got the reality of Islam. So Allah warns us that we must be on our guard from such people. The second reason why Allah is warning us, we mustn't become like them. The person happened, we become like the munafiqeen, and we become like hypocrites. Allah Ta'ala warns us. Then, in this after explaining, there are only three groups till the day of Qiyamah. The clear mu'mineen, mukhlisin, the true believers. And they can be made out very easily. The open non-believers, who are open enemies, you can make them out. But the danger group is the middle group. And all this group, Shias will also say, we also believe in Allah. We also believe in the Quran. We must work with unity. Then if we unity, then why you don't become like us? Why you don't follow what we say? Why you bringing out all the other new things? Salafis, what Islam was for 1400 years, now new Islam came. Only today they understood Islam. Till today nobody understood Islam. All the great imams of Hadith, Imam Bukhari, Imam Tirmizi, Imam Muslim, all the great imams of Fiqh, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, all the great imams, all the great Sufiya and Awliya, nobody understood Islam. Only today they have understood Islam. So all this type of things will come. So Allah Ta'ala is warning us against that. And Allah says, whichever group, whether you are the true believers, whether you are the non-believers, whether you are the in-between munafiqeen group, if you are really sincere and you want unity, and you want your good, do one thing. Ya ayyuhan nas. Ya Allah didn't say, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. Whether you are the believers, you are also amongst the people. Whether you are the non-believers, you are also amongst the people. Whether you are amongst the munafiqeen, you are also amongst the people.
You all do one thing. Oh, Abudu, Rabbakum. Worship Allah. First, let us analyze a little bit both those words. Oh, Abudu. Worship. Worship Allah Ta'ala. What is the meaning and what does Allah's ibadah and Allah's worship, what does it entail? One is, everyone knows, Salah, Namaz, Puasa, Roza, we bacha the Quran, Zikrullah, Dua, all these things, Hajj, Umrah, all this ibadat of Allah. Then the second meaning of Allah's ibadat is, which Allah Himself explains in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and man but for one purpose, for my ibadat, my worship. And yeah, ibadat meaning is, which all the mufassirin have written, illa liya'rifun, to recognize Allah Ta'ala. To have the ma'rifat of Allah. To know who Allah Ta'ala is. Who is that being who has created me? Who controls my life? Who controls my eyes? Who controls everything? And who is that being that I'm going to return to? If a person understands that, he won't be worried to impress people in this world. He won't be worried for his popularity. He must be popular by Allah. Like, we don't need our name in the Guinness Book of Records. Where we need our name, that those who fulfill the commands of Allah, who follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we won't be worried for dunya that I came first in this race. Or I did this year, I became the richest man. I'm the king of a business in business. That I did this, we won't. What we will be worried is to please Allah. That He is the one who controls my whole life. He is the one, not my business giving me my sustenance, not my job giving me my position. I'm a top man in my business, in the firm. I got the topmost job. Those things won't impress you also. Necessity, we will do it. But we won't be impressed. We want to please Allah Ta'ala. So the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. The third meaning of the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala is that abdiyat must come into us. That abdiyat, humility. Slavery, we are slaves of Allah. Not that a haughty, arrogant condition. Today we just start making little namaz, the holier than thou attitude. That there is nobody. The way we carry on with the wife also. She also have to say, all the muftis are dead. You're the only mufti I like. Only you know what is right. Nobody else know what is right. The way you, every whole day you lecture us. From morning to night, bayan, bayan, lecture. All that attitude that comes into us. Just because we went a little bit jamaat, we became bayat or something, and if a person gets khilafat, oh, he thinks I'm a jannati already. And there is nobody like me. And you undermine other people. You start undermining ulama also. I'm a big person now. And I've got this in me. I'm a khalifa. I'm this. And this all arrogance. So ibadat means to bring abdiyat in a person. And in order to understand this abdiyat, Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullahi bought a slave, took the slave home. And he asked the slave, what will you eat? The slave said, what choice has the slave got? Whatever the master gives him to eat, you will eat. When will you eat? He said, the slave has got no choice. When the master gives him food, that time he will eat. What will you wear? Where will you sleep? What will you wear? Everything, same answer. What my master said, the Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, he was taken aback and he says, I set you free in the name of Allah. You taught me how to be a slave of Allah. And this is a true person who wants goodness in his life. Whoever tells him, it can be his murid, it can be his student, it can be a non-Muslim, he learns a lesson from there, he appreciates it. And he acknowledges it also. Today we are such, we learn something, we start talking about it in such a way, it's our thing. We got this. We don't acknowledge also. He told him, you taught me how to be a slave of Allah. And I set you free in the name of Allah Ta'ala. That is what is slavery abdiyah. That we have no choice of our. What Allah is our creator. Allah, our eyes are not in our control. An optometrist can't control his own eyes also. A cardiologist in Gauteng area many years ago, and a very good Muslim cardiologist doing heart surgery, and pious man, whenever he operates on any person, he makes surah al-salatul hajj, gives some sadqa also, then he operates.
But on one occasion when he started operating, the patient was given anesthetic already and he was under chloroform. He just bent forward to start the operation. He died of heart. His own heart is not in his control. Where can he see to the heart of other people? It was some time ago, there was an international world, all the top cardiologists of the world had gathered to discuss meeting, seminars, conventions about heart and all that. And the one who they regarded as the topmost in the world, they appointed him the chairman of that meeting. He, in that meeting, died of a heart. Or himself is the top cardiologist of the world. All the top cardiologists of the world are present. Nobody can stop him. Hatta idha jaa ahaduhumul maut. When mort comes to a person, all the options will be home. He says, oh Allah, return me back into the world. Nobody can bring you back into this world again. When the decree of Allah Ta'ala comes. So this abdiyat must come. And from there, a person must become an abd of Allah. A slave of Allah. In everything of ours, attitude of slavery, humility, humbleness. Don't have an attitude, even you become a great chef. It's a duty of your murids to serve you. But you don't ask for service from them. You, what your thing should do it yourself. Not when you're eating, bring that. They just sign also with great pride. Put that, put this, put that. No, that shouldn't be in a person. Abdi'ah, he must become an abd of Allah. And this is the height of perfection of a banda when he becomes a slave. Allah made you as his slave. So be the slave of Allah. Don't you be a big boss. The big boss is Allah. You don't take his position. And this is what is pride. And when pride comes in a person, Allah says pride is only for me. And if you are snatching my garment, if somebody pulls your garment and wants to take it off, you feel immediately, you repulse it, you don't like it. The pride is only worthy for Allah Ta'ala. Allah has got the qualities of pride. And his qualities are his own. And they are for permanent. Our qualities are temporary. So much so, ulama have written, that even a person is a hafiz of Quran, and a jayyid hafiz, and we have seen so many of our friends, but they forgot the Quran Sharif. Whatever happened, they forgot the Quran Sharif. This is because of some of our sins. One major thing in there is pride, that a person then forgets his Quran. You get the topic of making five times namaz. You became an alim, you were pious. When Allah takes away hidayat from you, you even go out of the fold of Islam. And we see it happening also. So these are dangerous things. So we must have, we have to become the slaves of Allah. And another fifth meaning is that if you do everything as a slave of Allah, your 24 hours of your life is ibadah. Your business, you are doing it, 8 hours you are in your shop, you are in your office, 8 hours, in the factory you are working, but your niyat is to earn, Allah Ta'ala told, and we must earn our rozi, give up rozi is Allah, outwardly Allah made the means of it, you are earning to feed yourself. Don't be a parasite. Don't depend on other people. You earn for yourself. And what that your niyat further is, I'll feed my family, look after my family. I'll look at my broader family. Anyone in the family is in need. Allah has given me more, not to make my bank balance bigger, but to help the poor and needy ones also. And in your own family, charity starts at home. You spend on your children. You spend on your own family. And you keep them nicely. And then you spend on the madaris. You spend on the masjid, you spend on the widows, you are earning for that. That earning of yours is a great, great ibadah. Allahu Akbar. As far as this niyat and intention is concerned with this, at one time the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu were discussing about the dajjal. The dajjal is a great, great fitna. And we just digress and discuss this a little bit, but remind you to come back on intention. That the Dajjal today, we are so caught up and we are like the internet. It's an international net. And when a fly gets caught in this net and the web of a spider web, and you get caught in there, you can't come out. It doesn't come out. So the net has been thrown internationally. And who gets caught in this web, they can't come out. So many good people, pious, learned people, they just can't come out from porn. They are watching porn one way. Hey, so much so, and it has become so disgusting, you don't know what to say and what to think of.
The poor wife is next to you, you are watching porn.
So you have lost all values and morals.
Hey, you just don't think anything about her.
You are disturbing her late at night.
How many people, good people, are watching porn?
This is all Dajjal's tentacles that he has spread.
And he has caught us in these things.
The sports at the moment.
The cricket, I wonder, I think it's over or whatever it is. All this cricket, good people.
They're just involved in the cricket, wanting to know the score. What does it help us? What does it affect us in anything?
But how it has caught us. The match is starting far away in Australia, time difference.
Middle of the night, people are still waking up and watching that. We can't get up for Fajr. But for cricket, for
Brazil, when the World Cup was there, the soccer,
middle of the night people are watching.
People are taking off from work in order to watch the cricket, etc.
And we are supposed to be ambassadors of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
It's the work of the ambassador of Islam to do all these things. But here we are involved.
And so much so,
I heard somebody say that when Pakistan lost, I don't know who won or lost it, when they won, lost like 4 pound hammers, they broke the TV sets. That why they gave us this news.
Yeah? So how bad a person becomes,
and so stupid a person becomes, all these things.
And when Dajjal himself will come,
it comes in the Hadith Sharif, men will have to fasten their woman with iron chains in order to hold them back. Otherwise that magnet, that force will be so much, nobody will see.
But when the man already now, before the Dajjal came, when they are out of control, where are they going to control their wives? What will happen?
We don't know who will remain Muslim with the Dajjal. Now in the way, just the temptations and the preliminary and the curtain raises of the Dajjal are so terrible.
When the Dajjal will come, who will be able to save himself?
So these are terrible things. Anyway, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu were discussing this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, heard the discussion, they were talking about the Dajjal.
He said, should I not warn you of even a greater danger than the Dajjal?
He said, yes, please inform us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person,
when he makes namaz in front of people, like here in the masjid,
khushu, khudu, with great concentration, takes long in his ruku, in his sajda, everything.
But inside he has got no share of namaz.
And as you can see, if sometimes you have to make namaz at home for some reason,
then see what the quality of that namaz.
Yeah, in front of everyone.
So this is that show, riya, to show people,
to impress people with our namazes, to impress people with our tilawat of Quran,
with our zikr. All the time lips are moving. This person makes a lot of zikr all the time. Even in bayan, he's making zikr.
Allah didn't give a person two of them that he can do two things at one time.
But the person is busy with to impress people, that is making so much.
Maulana, and the real mashayikh are those people.
Maulana Abraham al-Haq sahab rahmatullah alayh,
a person was making zikr here in front of him, told him, he says, like at the back of the masjid. If you want to make your zikr, you go there, you don't disturb me.
Yeah, you are distracting me.
So a person who is involved in other things, you are distracting also.
So anyway, this riya kari,
to do things for show, which is so common today.
And we don't realize it. And a person, if we our spiritual diseases also have to be diagnosed. And then they have to be treated.
If a person got sugar and he doesn't know, many people, silent sugar, they are silent diabetes,
they die of a heart attack. They don't feel the pains also.
Because the sugar, the camouflages, hides the pain of a heart attack. They don't even know. And many people die in that.
They don't know they were diabetic.
A person who doesn't know that he's a blood pressure patient, his blood pressure is very high. Anytime he'll get a stroke, he'll be paralyzed.
Anytime he'll get brain hemorrhage, that person will be brain finished. He's a
carriage. He's not worth anything.
So spiritual diseases that we have,
pride we have got, anger we have got,
jealousy we have got,
but we're not even conscious of it. And we don't want to treat them also. How serious is it?
A person who knows he's sick,
and he takes precaution. Hopefully a person knows he's sick and he goes to a doctor and he takes medication, treatment. Hopefully he will get better.
But a person who doesn't know he's sick, who doesn't want to admit that he's sick,
that I have to go now to all the doctors today, only blood test after blood test, and refer, go to this doctor, go, I don't want all that. I will just say again, you know what will happen to me. So spiritually, if we don't even think of going to a spiritual doctor, and when I speak of spiritual doctor, I don't know here in Port Elizabeth, but South End, all the spiritual doctors, all the Mama Pazila, and the doctor so and so, and they do the most funniest things, the impossible. So much so they even know the lotto numbers. If they knew the lotto numbers, I don't know why don't they play themselves. Hey, why do you have to give other people and make them rich, tell them lotto numbers? If they know and they advertise that we'll give you the lotto numbers also. So why don't they just themselves go and buy the lotto and the wheel? So all, and people are gullible, and you'll be shocked who and who from the cross section of society, pious people, learned people, especially poor women, they are so gullible and they fall for all these things. I'm not speaking of those spiritual doctors, I'm speaking of those people who are mashayikh, who are ahlullah, who are the awliya, who will be able to diagnose your spiritual diseases and then prescribe for you and guide you. So those, so this is what a person has to go in order to get that your 24 hours becomes smart. You coming home, you come to the masjid, you can make up to 15 and even more niyas. It will be like you came 15 times to the masjid, so much so. If we, this is if you stay with the mashayikh, you follow their teachings, you listen to their advices, you read their advices, and you have a regular contact that all the time you are encouraged. What your wuzu, you can make so many niyas. When you eat, you come, when you come to the masjid, so it is full of ibadah. When you go home, again you can make ibadah to meet with your family, to go and make the ta'aleem and the tarbiyat of your family, you will get all that. You go to your business will become ibadah. Your 24 hours will be ibadah. So this is that ibadah, ya ayyuhanna su'budu rabbakum, that we make the ibadah of Allah as we understand also. And we become, we became the ma'rifat of Allah. We become the slaves of Allah. And we get slavery within us, and our 24 hours become ibadah. This is the first command, ya ayyuhanna su'budu. And the second word after that, rabbakum. U'budu rabbakum. Worship your Rabb. Who is your Rabb? Who is your creator? Who is your manager? Who is your sustainer? To whom you are going to return? Make his ibadah. And this is the karamah, and this is the ijaz of the Quran Sharif. That in the command, Allah gave the reason also. For example, if I have to tell somebody, go outside, he look at my face, what must I go and do outside? What work? Allah gave the command of Qurbudu, Rabbaku, worship him. And in that command, he gave the reason why we must worship Allah. And why must you worship Allah? He's your creator. He gave you your life. Your mother didn't give you birth. She gave birth to you, but she couldn't make you. If a mother made her child, every mother will want her child to be the most beautiful. If the father made the child, every father wants his child to be a millionaire, wants his child to be a genius. You didn't make your child, Allah made his child. Allah just made the means of you meeting with your wife. That is all. But what do you know of which optometrist knows about the eyes and can make one eye? All they can do is make a glass eye. Which cardiologist can make a heart? That is all the work of Allah. Which pulmonologist can make lungs? That is all the work of Allah. Nobody can do anything of these things. Not a dermatologist, all big names and all different sick things. But they can't do one thing. And how many whole life they are taking treatment, they're not coming right. Eyes are not coming right. Heart is not coming right. Allah is the one who made your heart, who controls your heart. The cardiologist is not in control of his own heart. Where is he in control of your heart? And who can make an eye? Who can make lungs? Who can make a heart? None other but Allah. So when Allah has done that, it's only natural. You working for your boss, you have to do the job. He gives you job description. These things you have to do it. Then you get your wages. And Allah does everything. He gives us our rosy. Job description, make the ibadah of Allah. Be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. He is the one who is your boss. He is the one who controls you. And you being a boss of workers, take a lesson that I got a boss above me. As I want my workers to do their job properly,
they must appreciate, they must work, I must do a less work properly.
Hey, take this lesson. And if you are working, take a lesson from that. That if I do the work properly for my boss,
and many times the bosses don't appreciate also.
Hey, you do something right, properly, and they find fault, they fire you also.
Many people are dismissed wrongly also, but Allah will never ever dismiss you wrongly.
Allah Ta'ala cannot make a mistake at all with regard to anyone at any time.
So Allah Ta'ala, so when Allah is like that, worship only Allah. And when we don't realize this, how many Muslim women say, it's my body, I can do with my body what I want to.
Nobody must tell me how I want to use my body.
Hey, it's not your body. Allah gave it to you. You can't use it as you want to.
You have to use it as Allah wants you to.
A person, Allah made him a wealthy person. Very rich also.
He says, my daughter's wedding. I will make the wedding as I want to. No imam, no sheikh must tell me what I must do.
It's my money. I'll do what I... It's not your money. It's a trust. It's an amanah by you.
If you realize that you want to make your daughter your son, you have to send him to Cuba to become a doctor. You want to send him to China.
Your young girl. You want to send her to China. My daughter. I know what I must do. It's not your daughter. She's an amanah. She's a trust in your hand.
You are not allowed to do as you want to. You have to do as Allah wants.
In the masjid, the imam is not the boss. The mutawalli is not the boss.
We are representatives of Allah. And we have to see the work of Allah takes place.
And everything must be done as Allah. The imam can't say that I want to do things like this in my community,
which is against the Sharia.
Or the imam wants to do something. Or the mutawalli, we want men and women to be together.
They must come and make namaz together.
You've got no right to do that.
We all have to see what Allah does. So, u'budu rabbakum.
And then Allah spells it out further.
Alladhi khalaqakum. Why? Because He is the one who created you.
You are not made of your own. And a person just has to think of the great qudrat of Allah, how Allah created a human being. And Canadian doctor, many years ago, easily 40-50 years ago, round about there, he wrote a medical book on the formation of a child in the womb of the mother. How the child is formed from right from the beginning, a drop of semen, a clot, and then it congeals and becomes blood, everything, bones, all the details. And at the end of his book, he wrote that if there is anyone in the world who can give us more information of how a child is formed, but not from medical resources, that we have got, I'm a medical doctor, I'm a cardiologist, and I'm a medical doctor, and I know about it, not from medical resources. We got sonars, we got x-ray machines, we know how a child is formed. From any other source, a Malaysian doctor wrote to him, and so many references of the Quran Sharif, of how a child is born, made in the womb of a mother. When that Canadian doctor read all this, he immediately became a Muslim. And he said that it is impossible that 1400 years ago, when the word gynecology did not exist, when there was no gynecologist in the world, there wasn't a university, there was an x-ray and sonar in the deserts of Mecca, there's a perfect explanation of how a child, which we know today exactly how it happens, the Quran explains it like that. Nobody can explain it but the creator of the baby. And that medical book in most of the medical colleges of the world till today it is taught. He became a Muslim also.
So this is that Allah is the one who created.
And if you think how Allah created us, Allah.
For example, I'll just give you one, two examples.
Well, all of us, we got our arms, mashallah.
And we got this elbow joint. Elbow joint there. Which we use so frequently and so commonly.
But never perhaps any one of us thought the details
and of anything of the body, we don't think.
And Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Signs of Allah are manifest in the world, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the changing of the day and the night.
وَكَأَيِّ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ.
How many of my signs, great signs in the heavens and earth, يَمُرُّونَ عَلِيْهَا, man passes by that.
وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُقْرِدُونَ, but he pays no attention.
وَفِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. The Quran invites us so openly, look in yourself and you will see the greatest proof of the existence of Allah, the greatest proof of the oneness and ta'eed of Allah, the greatest proof of the qudrat of Allah is you yourself, insan. These eyes, how Allah has made. So like this arm here, this one elbow joint, how much we use it? It's just, if our elbows, if there wasn't a joint and the hand was straight, all these joints are perfect, no gout, no ulcers, no anything, no disease in them. You take the food in your fingers, eh? But with this joint, you can't bend your hand. Try your utmost to bring the food to your mouth. If you are not shy, you can try it out now. Make your hand like this and try it out. Or try to take your mouth to your fingers. Eh? If you are shy, then go home and eat. But don't do it in front of the wife. She'll wonder what happened to my husband. What's he doing like this all the time? Go in the bathroom and lock the door also. And put out the light also. Maybe she peeps from the keyhole. And then try your whole night to bring your fingers to your mouth or take your mouth to your fingers. You cannot. With this one joint, Allah made it easy. How easy that you eat yourself. Otherwise, all of us, we should have to feed one another. I put food in your mouth, you put food in my mouth. I can't tell to me. So I put food in your mouth, you put food in my. And we know if somebody else feeds you, you don't get that enjoyment. Unless there is that love between husband and wife, and that jazbah, that feeling of making children, you enjoy when your wife feeds you. You enjoy when you take one morsel and you put it in her mouth. Otherwise, if somebody else feeds you, you know you want this little bit, you want that little bit, you want it so much, etc. Only like that, this one joint. And this joint, we are using it, there are people here maybe 70 years old, 80 years old, perhaps even more. But whole life, we didn't have to go for oiling and greasing service. Your car, 6 months, needs service. Oiling and greasing. 20,000 kilometers, needs servicing. For this joint here which we are using so much, no servicing, no oiling and greasing. The ball bearings never got finished. And put new ball bearings. How left you using it? It didn't know no ball bearings got finished. Who made this one? And not one joint in the body, 360 joints in the body. And all who maintains them? One wahdahu la shareeka. No doctor maintains them, not you. Do oiling and greasing, Allah. And you have a pain in one joint, many people knee problems, leg ankle problems, how back problems. Hey, you suffer. You got a frozen shoulder. How you suffer? Oh, but we never make shukr to Allah. His namaz, this is what must come into our life. And for that is to make connection, ta'alluq with those people who have this, who we call Ahlullah, whose eyes Allah has opened, whose hearts Allah has opened, so our eyes can open. Our hearts can open. Another one example I will give you how Allah has created us. If we, the father and mother made children, man made children themselves, then our thinking will be that when a child is born, then we know there is no teeth in his mouth. Then he gets milk teeth because at the beginning there is nothing to eat. He's only sucking on his mother, sucking. And if he has to have teeth and he bites the mother, that the very delicate part of your body, how it will pain. But Allah has put so much love in the mother for her child, she forgives the child. And if the husband has to ever do that, whole life she will never forgive. Never ever make that mistake and never ever try that and do that. But the little child, Allah has put so much love in the mother's heart, she forgives the child. But normally there are no teeth at that time because it's dangerous also and we don't need it. Then, now you start with your Mari biscuits, or Bordio biscuits, simple food. Now the little milk teeth come out. Like the curtain raiser of a big match cup final. So first some curtain raiser takes place. So these are all the curtain raisers. And when the actual match is going to come, the biryani and the rose, now the actual teeth start growing. And then, Allah's qudra, they grow to a certain amount and they stop. If we had to make the children according to our, we go into the draft room and we on the draft board, we work out and do all our planning. When the child is 1 year, we should have thought that the tooth must be 1 millimeter. So every year it grows 1 millimeter. When the child is 10 years, 1 centimeter. When 20, 25, 2.5 centimeters. And that's the age when they get married, boys and girls.
Roughly between 20 and 25 years old.
And now the boy's teeth, the top one is 2.5 centimeters. Eh, more than an inch.
And the bottom two is also 2.5 centimeters.
And it's advisable, sunnat also, you must have a glance at the girl
you will get married to.
And her teeth also so big. Eh?
And then that time they smile, they were little bit to one another.
The poor girl will say, what my father, who has he brought?
But I get married to a man.
Maulana, my father told me,
Maulana is coming to see you, or is this a bulldozer?
This earth moving machine
with so big, big teeth
and smiling. And no problem, she will want to run out that side when you see her and she smiles with you, you'll want to run out this side.
That who my father told me, I must get my mother told me, very good girl, she's a harima, but she looks more like a bulldozer.
She'll eat me up. And then if the teeth carry on growing, and now you became nani ma, grandmother, and dadi ma, and 80 years you are old. And
the top tooth is 8 centimeters, and the bottom tooth is 8 centimeters.
And grandmother, grandfather like to make love to their children, embrace them, kiss them. They just see from the door, oh, oh, oh.
This looks like a wood that they can eat me up,
and they won't even want to come near us. Who is it that comes to one level and stops? And if our eating habits are good and our dental hygiene is correct, the teeth look like pearls in the mouth.
You don't need braces. Eh? Today crime rate is so great
that we even have to put a burglar car on our teeth. That the people will teeth steal our teeth. And what amount we spend on the burglar bars for the teeth?
If our food eating habits are correct, then the teeth will look like pearls in the mouth.
And you, what, how beautiful they will be.
And you'll have healthy teeth
if our eating habits are good
and our hygiene of the mouth is correct.
So Allah is the one, Alladhi khalaqakum.
And not only did Allah create you, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ.
If you think that people before me, they made me, my father made me,
my father and my mother made me, Allah says He made them also. He didn't only make you, He made your father also.
He made your mother and your friend.
He made Adam alayhi salam also.
Everything.
And all this for what reason?
لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
The whole exercise is not futile.
فَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا.
Allah says, what do you think? I just created you in tomfoolery?
Just for waste of time and for no reason I made this heavens and the earth,
this whole infrastructure of the world,
whether it's the airports, whether it's the harvest, whether it's this huge, huge trucks doing our deliveries,
all this is one purpose that you recognize.
And that you obey His commands, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
That comes in. It's not just that you build a big house and you're just enjoying it. That the ni'mat Allah gave you, you become so engrossed in that ni'mat and you forget who gave me this ni'mat.
How many of us are such that when we go home,
if we haven't eaten, if we're going to eat after Isha,
food is ready. But we never think and tell the wife one jazakallah. Eh? On that just one little point.
One great alim, a great buzurg, a great Allah's wali, Dr. Abdul-Hay Arifi,
Rahmatullah Ali, was invited by one of his murids.
After he had his meals from Parda, Sitara, a veil, a curtain, he thanked the house lady. Jazakallah.
You prepared very well, I appreciate.
And it was very tasty. He thanked her, made dua for her, he went away.
But she started crying very profusely.
So her husband asked her, why are you crying? Maulana didn't insult you.
He didn't criticize you. He praised you. He gave you dua.
Why are you crying? She says, I'm crying because 40 years I'm feeding you.
But not one day, one meal you told me jazakallah.
Not one time you told me, mashallah, what a nice meal. I really enjoyed it.
One time I cooked for Maulana, see how much he appreciated it.
So anyway, he learned his lesson. The next day he was sitting and eating with her.
And he told, he started now, jazakallah, very nice, I appreciate.
Again she started. And very profusely again.
And remember what our woman, it's a no-win situation.
You can't win. You, whatever you do, there's a problem.
And they say the same about us anyway. That with this man, you just can't please them.
Whatever you do, they never help you.
So anyway, he asked, now why are you crying? I'm praising you, I'm thanking you, I'm making dua.
She said, 40 years I'm cooking for you. Not one day you told me jazakallah. Not one day you showed any appreciation.
Today when the neighbor's wife sends the food, you just can't stop. You're just going on and on for yourself all the time. So anyway,
to appreciate is a very great quality, but we haven't got there.
So Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that these qualities
of appreciation.
And after acknowledgement, appreciation. After appreciation, Allah gave us the eyes. Use it how Allah wants us to use it. Allah gave us the food. You will eat it. Enjoy the food. Make shukr to Allah. Now use that strength and obedience of Allah. Don't eat Allah's food and you can please shaitan. And you can do it for your nafs. But your nafs didn't give you that food. Your nafs didn't give you the strength. Allah gave it to you.
Use it for the obedience of Allah.
Then Allah spells it out even more further. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Allah made this earth for you, a surface on which you walk. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً. And Allah made the sky a covering for you. Like you got the ceiling here. Above the ceiling is a slab or there's a roof there. And all this is protecting us. If it has to rain, we sit comfortably here. Hot day, this is here. It saves us from the heat, direct heat of the sun, etc. If it's a cold day, from the cold, it saves us. We don't know the sky Allah has put us. What it saves us from. And astronomers, just now, they are discovering that beyond the sky, our sky of the earth, what there are things of Allah Ta'ala. What huge, we will call it unbelievable creations of Allah Ta'ala. So how it's protecting us, our sky. So Allah made the earth for us, and the earth, how Allah made it also. Not so hard that we can't dig into it for our foundations. To plant our things, etc. It's possible. And not so soft that when you walk on it, if you start wobbling this way and that way. Huge, huge trucks with how much of weight are moving on this earth, the earth carries it on. What buildings are put on this earth? Skyscrapers are put on this earth. The earth carries it on. If the earth has to start shaking, what will happen? Allah made this earth. The earth, Allah made it so soft that with your name you can stretch in the earth. And made it so solid and hard. There is only Allah's word that impossibilities are not impossible for Allah. For us, it is the same earth which you can stretch with your finger nail and you can dig out some sand from there. That same earth will carry what weight on it? Mountains it's carrying on it. What big trucks and what big buildings it's carrying on it. So Allah has made this earth. That very same earth, Allah has put all the capacity for your wheat to grow. You enjoy your grain, you enjoy your biscuits, all that, your flour to grow from there. The meat is that grows, all this Allah. And your wonderful fruit from the very same earth, one water from the sky, colorless, tasteless, odorless, and it falls on the ground that on which we walk and trample. And some people, when they become angry, they jump on the earth. And they swear the earth also. And they swear the mother of the earth also. The person becomes so stupid in his mind that he does the most impossible. A mechanic working on his car and something goes wrong and it's not coming right. He swears that too. And he swears the mother of the tool. What did the poor tool do to? And where the poor tool got a mother? But the way he will swear and what swear words he uses. This is how insan is. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from this very earth which is like that, and the water which is tasteless, colorless, odorless, Allah takes out mangoes, and what variety of mangoes. What is the color in the mango? And when you get the fragrance of the mango when you just pass your kitchen, your pantry, and what wonder, Allah made from there your pineapple. And what is the taste and the color and the effect of pineapple completely different from mango. And what is that wonderful fragrance? Who put it in there? Did it come from the sand? Did it come from the water? Who put that in there? Then Allah Ta'ala put your grapes in there. And your grapes, what varieties of grapes? Allahu Akbar. Bananas and variety of bananas. What and what Allah has made? Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-arda firash. Was-sama bina'a. Wanzala min as-sama'i ma'a. Fa'akhraja bihi min al-thamarati rizqan. Then with that, with the falling of the rain and the ground, Allah Ta'ala took out fadaratu. How many types of fruit, so many, and you enjoy. We enjoy that mango, we enjoy that grapes, but no shukr to Allah. We don't acknowledge it is from Allah Ta'ala. We don't make shukr. You bought your son a BMW, latest model, top of the range, and he used it as a fowl, and he put fowls to stay in there. Hey, what you say? What's wrong with this man? Is he sick in his head or what? A BMW top, how much I spent? 2 million rand for a computer. I said, what things that BMW can do? And he made a foul run out of it. He's putting chickens to stay in that BMW. Allah gave us, what is a BMW? What is a, what is a mention? All this is to acknowledge Allah and recognize. But we don't recognize him. We are worse than the son who made a foul run of that BMW also. So this is what has to come. And Allah loves those people who acknowledge him and who make shukr. You eat one morsel of food and your mind goes to Allah. Shukr. You gave me this food. You had your one plate of biryani. The rice came from Pakistan. The butter came from Australia. The saffron came from Spain. The spices came from Zanzibar. The meat came from the Karoo. The whole world's thing in one place, a plate Allah gave you. But we don't appreciate. This is the test of to learn to appreciate. So Allah says, well, فَأَخْرَ جَبِهِ مَثَمَرَاتِ رِسْخًا لَكُمْ. For one purpose, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَابًا. Don't associate partners to Allah. Don't say I did it. Don't say the farmer did it. Don't say the government. Don't say the factory. Realize behind it all, mu'min is a person who is not short-sighted. He doesn't just look on the surface. He sees what is happening behind the scene. Allah is the doer. Don't say that we did it. We have done this. We are doing this. Ascribe it. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَابًا. And especially, one thing after you have knowledge of it, now don't associate it. And don't associate partners. The real purpose and object of everything is tawheed. The oneness of Allah. And everything, a great, great share, Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Mazur Rahmatullah Ali said, Maut mujhe na aaye, jab tak ke miraz e tawheed se aaga na kare. Oh Allah, let not maut come unto me until I understand tawheed. That everything happens by the will of Allah. Good happens to you by the will of Allah. Anything against your desires, an accident, anything illness is by the will of Allah. Everything you see, it's not me, it's not my wife, it's not my parents, it's not the government. Allah is the doer of everything. That reality, that true tawheed must become into us. Tawheed is not only that we say La ilaha illallah. The reality of tawheed, that we believe in one Allah. Hey, the being Allah one. And then we believe Allah in His sifat, in His attributes. He alone possesses those. He alone is Razzaq. He alone is Ghaffar. He alone is Fattah. All the qualities of Allah. Nobody else shares any of those qualities. And then Allah alone in His af'al, He is also alone. He alone does all His actions. He doesn't need a Nabi to give Hidayah. He doesn't need a Wali to give Hidayah. He doesn't need an angel to give, to do all His work. He alone. Allah has kept the system, but Allah is not in need of the system. Allah is Ghalib ala kulli shay. He overpowers everything. So this has to come into us. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So, try and associate here with the ulama here. Mufti Siraj is here. Maulana Nazir is here. Maulana Ahmed Sadiq is here. Maulana Salman. All other brothers also. Those and who make majlis. Sit in their majalis. Attend regularly. Then these things will come into us. Not just one bayan, it will come. No, I'll fool myself. We will fool ourselves. That one bayan and we are now finished. We all right. No, it's a continuous. Our houses, you've heard the top mention in the world, but you have to maintain it. The minute you stop maintaining it, you got the best garden in the town, you want a prize for it. But the minute you stop maintaining it, weeds will start growing. Grass will be overgrown. Your car, you got the best car, but you have to maintain it. You have to wash, you have to clean it. So your iman, your soul, no maintenance, no cleanliness, and you have to go for your to fix up your garden. Don't call the motor mechanic and tell him to mow my lawn. What he knows about mowing the lawn? Get the gardeners, the garden service people to do that. So for your roof, get the people who will serve your roof. Don't just think you can do it on your own. You can't maintain your own house on your own. You can't maintain your body. You need a doctor. So for your roof, how can you maintain it? But yet Shaitan bluffs us. No, you can manage on your own. You don't need anyone. You need an expert of this field also. And they are present. Go to these people. And inshallah, then we will get the full benefit. May Allah give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Oh, Allah, guide us to righteousness. Let us recognize you, Allah, and your great favors. Let us be thankful servants of you, oh Allah. Let us acknowledge your favors. Let us be thankful to you and make us obedient to you, oh Allah. Give us our lives of Iman and Islam. And when you take us with that perfect Iman and Islam, which you are pleased with, oh Allah. Give us a life of enjoyment and pleasure, comfort, ease in this world. And when you take us, give us a beautiful mort, oh Allah, and give us the pleasures of the Qabr and the pleasures on the day of Qiyamah. And oh Allah, enter us into your beautiful gardens of Jannah. Oh Allah, guide us to all righteousness, save us from all harm and wrong. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.